Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
We began a new week of morning shows and in-studio guests here on WRCO. I'm Phil Nee, joined by Mayor Todd Coppernall from the city of Richland Center today as we get an update. Well, good morning, Mayor Todd.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me back.
Awesome to have you here. I think even more optimism with each month that goes by in the year. You know, you hit March and people are already looking ahead toward better weather, right?
Well, for sure. You know, when I was here 4 weeks ago, I said that. I said winter's going to get some licks in February, which of course it did. But I said when I'm back, it'll be early March. We'll have a lot of the snow gone. We will have been teased by spring a little bit. And I do see some signs of spring around town. I've seen a few robins, a couple buds on some trees, and Dewey Houston's back outside. So it's got to be spring, right? It's got to be spring.
Sure sign, huh?
Well, and, you know, and they always say in spring, you know, that's when love is in the air.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded, it's funny, you know, we all have our romantic pasts. I'm in a wonderful marriage with Kimmy now, but I'll tell you, back when, a lot of people don't know this one, Phil, when I was 5 and she was 4, I was briefly engaged to Barb DeLapp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was. That was a true story. I proposed marriage. She accepted. We told the neighbor kids. But about, say, maybe 15 minutes later, Sesame Street came on. She went in the house and the whole thing just fell apart. You know? My introduction to romance.
It's Mayor Todd's stand-up today.
Yeah, there we go. There's the intro.
Back in the day, the usual spring announcement at Ithaca schools for Mr. Majeski was, spring is a time for young love to blossom, but not in the halls.
Not in the hallway. I knocked that off.
Yeah, knocked that off.
I'm sure the dances were well chaperoned, too.
They were, absolutely. Oh, we start off on a lighter note, and one of the things I want to ask you about was Panorama Estates. Do you have any update on that today?
Sure do. So, as a lot of your listeners will remember, we announced a few months ago, I believe it was December, when the agreement got signed, the amended, updated, improved agreement was signed with the builder out there. Originally, when the project was launched, the idea was to get 3 apartments buildings built out there, one at a time over a period of many years. And the first one was built on time. The second one was not, mostly due to the run-up in construction costs brought by the pandemic, which was a very real thing. We all know what inflation did. Well, we worked with the developer. It took longer than we wanted it to. It took longer than they wanted it to. But we got to a better agreement that will now call for buildings 2 and 3 to be built simultaneously. And the document states that the groundbreaking will take place no later than the 15th of June of this year. And I noticed there is a piece of construction equipment sitting on the grass up there. So I have been in consistent contact, as has Jason Glassbrenner, our director of public works, has been in consistent contact with the builders. We have heard of no snags. We're expecting construction when they're ready to go, spring or early summer. And that will bring 92 new apartments to the city, which I don't think has ever happened in one move in Richland Center's history.
How long do you think before they're all filled up?
Yeah, that's a good question. And honestly, that's for the builders to do, right? That's their business to get them filled. But what they told us is they would build them. They'll start the foundations, they'll stagger them just enough to get the foundation in and done on one, and then start the other one. So the focus will be, as far as we were told anyway, to fill one building before they begin to rent the other one. Again, that's their business. I don't know what the rents will be. I don't know, you know, those details. I think maybe at some point in the future, you know, maybe we could bring somebody from the project down here once they've made, and for updates as the building's going on, because I know the public has a lot of interest there. We're excited about the agreement that's now in place. We all feel really good about it. It was a lot of work, and we're expecting a positive outcome for Richland Center.
Possibly, if you get everybody moved in and their new families coming in, maybe you can change that population sign eventually, right?
Well, yeah, if you think about it. So Richland Center has struggled through the years to grow population. We all know that. And I think a lot of people miss some of the reasons why that's true. The first one that gets a little bit, it's kind of hidden because it didn't happen in one move. So they talk to me a lot of people do, well, we added all those houses in Wedgwood. We did, but we lost houses when Highway 14 was rerouted. We lost houses when the dike went in. We lost houses when the clinic moved up to the hospital. The net gain in houses, single family houses in the city is much smaller than I think most people think that it is. And also, we just know it's no different than anywhere else. Family sizes are much smaller than they once were, and you can see that in every school district you look at. I mean, so many closed elementary schools all around, certainly not just in the Richland district, they're all around, and just the smaller class sizes. My mother was just talking to me about that. She was an elementary school teacher at Riverdale, and she retired about 12 or 13 years ago now, and she was telling me how the class sizes have just continued to get smaller since she was done. So it's a challenge. But the biggest thing that's gotten in our way for population growth has been a lack of housing. We've got an awful lot of people who work their jobs in Richland Center but drive from somewhere else. And it was just availability of housing. So we've done a lot of work on that. We're meeting again today, in fact, with two people that have proposed a single-family housing development in town. I've mentioned them on the air a few times, Mike Lamont and Ellen Evans. They'll be down again today to City Hall to talk to us again on how that project's coming along, and we're very optimistic on that one, too. You start to talk about, 92 more apartments, and let's just round it off to 20 new houses, whatever the number ends up being. It's a lot of opportunity for people to live in our city who aren't here now. That, in turn, gets the attention of retail chains. They're looking for that, the signs of growth, the signs of effort from city government. Well, we've gotten attention in some fronts that we didn't have it, couldn't get it in the past, and working through that. And that answer is kind of the same answer. I don't live in Richland Center because I couldn't find the home I was looking for. I didn't build my business in Richland Center because I couldn't find the space to build or lease. And when I say that, people like to say to me, and they're well-intentioned, I get it. Well, why don't you put a bunch of stores at the campus property, or why don't you put them here or there? You need to understand this. Big chains, the kind of businesses that people ask for all the time, they start by looking at traffic count. It's the first thing they ask about, traffic count. And where is our biggest traffic count? It is from the Dragon Buffet Walsh's area down to Walmart, and do it best down there. That stretch of Highway 14 East is where those chains typically want to locate. And if you look down there, there's not a lot of available land left in the land that is there. When some of these companies have attempted to maybe negotiate a purchase price, some of the landowners have just refused. They just don't want to sell it. And it's just been a challenge. So what we're doing right now is we're working with a local landowner on potentially changing that. If you watch the agendas, there was an annexation that was recommended for approval, went through the Plan Commission last week and is on the City Council agenda tomorrow, which would bring a very significant parcel into the city that has never been in the city, which just makes it possible then for city utilities to be placed, and it just makes it so much more attractive to, for instance, retail. It doesn't just have to be that, but for instance, these major retail chains, and people ask me all the time, grocery store, clothing store, shoe store, things like that, and that's what I'm talking about. They're going to pick where they go. It's not just what town. Well, now what town is figured out, now where, because it's millions of dollars to open a new location, and they're not just going to go. They're going to go where they want to be, that where they're comfortable building. And we've done a lot of work to try to make it easier for that to happen, and we're excited that we're on the cusp of that.
Sounds like, that would be big news if you could. Do they look for an existing building when they're looking, or they just would rather have the land? Or?
It depends on who it is. So there are chains that insist on building their own store, and they have the very specific specs. Take a look at Quick Trip. They have companies that build their stores for them. That's pretty much all they do because they have so many stores. I think something like 850 Quick Trips now, something like that. So when one goes up, like when the one downtown here, they bought the land. They just did. They didn't ask the city for, buy this for me, do this or that. They bought the land, put up the store, and off they went. There's other stores that are like that, too, that won't take public funding. Well, but then there's others who don't want the build. They don't want to own. They want to lease. So that's a mix. Some are looking for a place to lease. Some are looking for a place to build. So then you get into how much involvement should the city have in trying to help a private property owner reach an agreement with a prospective tenant, for instance, or a prospective land buyer, because you have to remember you're talking about tax money no matter how you break it down. Some involvement, yes. How much? You know, it just depends on the situation. And then who's on the line? And another possibility that's been floated to me is maybe somebody getting their hands on some of this land and building a commercial building for a business. You know, find them. Think of it this way. Ryan Jones built the building that now houses Dunkin', AT&T, and TriStar. Okay, so there's two businesses that are not locally owned, right? The two franchises over there and then one locally owned business. Well, without that building, they're not here. That's all there is to it. Where they got to have a home. You can't live here without a house. You can't have a business here without a building. Okay, so that got built and the tenants moved in. I've never asked Ryan if he had those tenants in tow before he built, but he's a smart businessman. It wouldn't surprise me. I'm just saying, you know, build what you know you can fill and fill it up. So one idea would be for someone to build a commercial space and bring in a business that's not here now. I'd love to see that if it works out. But again, that takes the right players with the right money and the right land available. And that's, we've put a tremendous amount of work into changing that to make it easier to build here. And I'm hopeful and excited that we might be on the cusp of some of that getting here.
Construction-wise, Mayor Todd, any streets being worked on this year, anything like that that you can
let us know? We didn't put in a street project this year. We took a year off. The reason we did that is we know, myself, the city administrator, the city council, we know. So you watch the news and you see all the city referendums. They never end. Cities and counties and school districts, it just never ends because funding, municipal funding, has gotten very tight. And inflation, of course, ran up faster than any tax base was going to grow to support it. So we didn't do a street project this year to just kind of reset, reevaluate, because when we do the budget for 2026, there's going to be some challenges. There's going to be, you know, some give and take going on down at City Hall. There's no way out of it. There's no way out of it. So we just spent this year, you know, we didn't do a couple of things just to kind of hold some money, keep working. It's just, in other words, so that the department heads and the administrator aren't trying to figure all of this out in a short window. We're trying to use the next several months to get a handle on where that budget's got to go for next year. Of course, with the combination of things in mind, the needs of the city and the needs of the taxpayers, right? You know, you don't hit them all. You got to be careful with how much you tax people. And we have been. There's no question about that at the city that we have been. But then you have to look at where inflation ran up, and now it's a juggling act, and that's just part of the deal. When you know, that's no different than a business owner or a homeowner adjusting their budget. And the city's going through some of that. So for this year, we didn't do a street project as we've been doing every year for several. Now, we will be doing some more overlays. And an overlay is like a one-inch, basically think of it as a giant patch. It doesn't look like a patch because it's pavement on the whole street. But it's a one-inch layer of new pavement on the top of the street underneath. And we've done a lot of that through the city to trying to help some of these streets that there's just never going to be the millions of dollars available at one time to completely rip all these streets out and do it. It's just never going to happen. So you have to pick and choose the infrastructure projects you want to do. And in the meantime, you make the rest of the streets the best you can. And in infrastructure, I think we should stop calling them street projects. They're infrastructure projects because oftentimes, sure, it's new pavement, but it's curb and gutter. In many cases, new storm sewers, sometimes in places that have never had them and should have. We've done new water means, new sewer laterals, all of this stuff. It's not just pavement on the street. So it is involved. It's the city budget, but also city utilities. And it's some of these things that we've been able to do should have been done a long time ago. But again, it's tough to pay for all this in a small place. It's really, really expensive to do streets, curb and gutter, storm sewer and all that. So you got to plan for it. do the best you can and kind of map out, say, 5 years at a time, which we just completed a 5-year plan and chose to just put a 1-year gap in to kind of make sure we plan the next 5 well.
You recently had a community forum, and that went with the city and the county and the school. And did you have good response for that?
We did. We did. That's the second time we've done that. The first time we did 2 sessions, one at 11 a.m. and one at 6 p.m. This time we just went with the evening session, and representatives were there from the city, the county, the school district. We had a good good group for and from the Simons Foundation, too, from the Simons Center. Some folks there from that group as well. All of us just kind of gave quick updates on what we're working on, and then just opened the microphone for questions. Ron Fruit was a moderator and did a great job, and some great questions are always asked and answered. I would say probably this time, the first time last year, the school had a referendum on the ballot, and that got most of the attention. This time, probably more than anything else, the campus property, which I think is perfectly understandable that people want to know and they need to know. And again, that's, as I've said before on this program, right now that's in the hands of the county board and their campus reconfiguration committee, which is because the county owns the property. Yes, it's in the city, and yes, the city will have to will be having some involvement in there in what goes on next, but not yet, not until the county is ready to really talk about what they think they want to do. And I don't know. I think they don't know. There's just imagine yourself in a position where you've got multiple buildings, all of them, every one of them had a great amount of deferred maintenance, which means there's a lot to fix. And when I say a lot to fix, that's a lot to fix to make them what they were. I'm not talking about making them something new. I mean making them as best as they could be what they had been. Is the best way I'll say that. And now, what? If you spend millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, to make those buildings a 2025 version of what they were built to be, the campus isn't there. Well, so now what? So do you rebuild them? Do you not rebuild them? Do you sell the whole thing? Do you keep some of it for the county? Do you tear some buildings down? And when I say all of these things, the bridges need significant repair. One of them is being done this year. And also, a lot of people don't realize how much of that property is floodplain and can't be built on. The buildings were built where they are because that's the area where there is not floodplain. The floodplain covers the entire parking area. It's within a few feet of the gymnasium wall. I mean, it's a unique property. It's very valuable. The beautiful location. It's got tremendous potential. That's why the campus was there all that time. It's why the county has their hands full trying to figure out which thing is the best thing going forward. But this isn't easy. This will not be easy. The county was left with a giant headache, to be really right to the point. I mean, the UW system just said, we're leaving. They just left, guys. There's a bunch of stuff in those buildings that they just left behind, that, you know, there's a big cleanup out there. Before you make something new, there's a big, big cleanup necessary on that property. I feel for the guys at the county going through this. I do.
When Tony Kurtz was here a while back, he talked about going on tour with it with Chairman David Turk, and he was saying it was just like they walked out like a Twilight Zone, like it was people vanished and everything was left behind.
Yeah, I wasn't on that. I'm city and the county didn't invite me, and that's okay. That's not a problem. Just pointing out if people want to know, I was not in that walkthrough, but of course, Mr. Kurtz, I think, requested it and went through it with several representatives of the county. And I heard from Dave Turk within 24 hours, how much stuff is just sitting all over the place, all through those buildings. And like Mr. Kurtz said, it's like somebody just don't like the, it's like Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. There's your analogy. It's like they just, here's what used to be. There were people here. Now we got everything for humans and no humans. That's what I would say. And they just imagine that. You've got buildings that have all kinds of things going on with them. And within each building, there's who knows what sitting all around. Here you go, guys. Make something good happen. They will. There will be a positive conclusion. The community will benefit from what comes next. It's just a lot to sort out over at the county. Now, to their credit, and also to the city and to the Richland School District, a lot of credit, city utilities, a lot of people, Simons Foundation, trying very hard to work together and to think as one where we can. There's things that can't be done that way, but when we can, get together, talk it through, try to find solutions that might be mutually beneficial. And there's two reasons. The first one is just because that's common sense, you know, two birds, one stone, whenever you can. But the other one is all of us, we live here too, and none of us have won the Powerball. And we always think through the eyes of a taxpayer, because we are taxpayers, every one of us involved. And we really try, you know, to improve efficiencies and to get the things done that have to get done while trying to keep a handle on what it costs to do it. It's really challenging, guys. Imagine for yourselves, look what inflation did in anybody's household, in anybody's business. Well, naturally, the city, the county, the schools, Southwest Tech, everybody, we're living in the same world, and it happened to those entities as well. It's a real challenge right now. But the people involved, both hired and elected at these publicly funded entities, are working very hard to collaborate whenever we can and find permanent solutions, not just a quick fix, but things that aren't just going to save money today, but that will make things hopefully less expensive and more efficient for everyone for years to come.
There's a fine line between being sentimental, you know, and being real. You know, we'd all like to see it still open and still being used, but it's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And I've commented on that several times. Don't like it at all. You know, I don't like it at all. But now what? We've just said it. We've got abandoned buildings full of stuff. That doesn't work, guys. It just can't work. And so now what is the process that's being sorted out? And everybody wishes now what had a tomorrow answer. Right, let's just get out there and do something right now. No, there's too many layers. I mean, you know, when Mr. Kurtz walks through with county officials and is moved enough to come down here and make some pretty direct comments about it, that's from the state level. Okay, that's not just the people living on 4th Street anymore now. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that yet. This is new news. This is fresh. I'm sure we're all going to hear about it plenty of times here. But I don't know. I just know this. There's really good people working very hard to find the best solutions available for the city and the county right now, both on the campus property and several other things going on in the community. And I'm really grateful that not just myself, not just anyone from the city, but that all of these other groups have seen that need and been willing and cooperative to get together and try to find the best solution. That wasn't always true here. It wasn't true when I was first elected, even, which is only 5 years ago. That was not happening. It is now. I said this once before, but it's a big deal, so I'm going to say it again. The very first person that approached me and said, how about trying to find a path to get together and help everybody, was Marty Brewer. And that's, you know, he's not with us now, but he first approached me in the parking lot outside the courthouse with just a simple hello, because we'd never met. I'm the new mayor. He's the new county board chair. He started the conversation that has led to where we are. And you see the East Hall building is now being used by the school district. It's a great example. You see the community resource officer in the high school, which has had a tremendous positive impact on the culture in that school. Well, those things are two very tangible examples of what can happen when a county board chair who just got appointed and the mayor who just got elected stop walking and look at each other and say hello. And so great credit goes to him. And then from that point forward to so many others, city administrator, you know, there have been two county administrators. They're searching for the new one now. Both Clint and Candace were involved in this. Dave Turk after Marty, now Derek Kalish, and so many others from the county, different county board members over there, Josh Elder, and then coming over to the city. Ashley Oliphant, Jason Glassbrenner, with myself, several members of the city council, several people who work for city utilities involved in all this, and at the school district, Steve Board, Aaron Unbehind, Sheila Troxel, all these different people who have said, we can do better. We really don't. We've got to do better. And then you get people from the public, and I'm going to start, aim that one right at the Simons Foundation. Nobody there is elected to anything, but they care, and they've all lived here a long time, and they're not just trying to have today go well, they're trying to build tomorrow with us. And they come in there and they say, what about this, and have you thought of that? And they've raised money to get some new equipment into Simons, which it needed. Things like that, and we're trying to grow that. We're trying to build that network. I would love it if some of the businesses in town got involved in the same meetings with the elected people. Hey, you can tell us what you need, but we're going to tell you what we need too, because we all are here, and you know, you're dependent on us, and we're dependent on you. So let's all work on this. Let's all do it. That's where, in a small community, there's no other way. There's no other way. There's not going to be a miracle cure that dumps a bucket of money on the county, on the city, on the schools. There's no pot of gold. There's no rainbow. It's not Saturday morning cartoons. You got to work, and you can't stop. And you got to collaborate, and you can't stop. And you got to communicate, and you can't stop. And we got the train rolling. So to those of you listening to me, come on. Come on, man. Help us do it. Come on, help us do it. There's only 18,000 of us in our whole county, a whole county that's basically Wanakee. Come on, you guys. We can all do this.
I know that a positive thing has come from the school district. Looks like they're possibly going to be able to use the gym in the future, and maybe the Simons Foundation working together, too. That would be good to see that opened up again.
Yeah, in my opinion, because, of course, the county owns that property, not the city, hence I have no authority there. I believe that'll happen. The details I don't know because they're not finalized. But I would bet, I'll put it this way, I would bet that both Simons and the school district get use of that gym at some point in the future. I don't want to say it with a finer point than that because I don't know more than that. I know there's interest from both Simons and the school district to have use of the gym. And I will say this right now. There's no way ever that this school district should be in a position of building a new gymnasium when there is a gymnasium right down the hill from the high school. So I will say this, figure it out, period. Figure it out, because this is silly. I mean, it's some of it's necessary because it's not small. There's a lot of entities involved, but come on now. I mean, they need gym space. It would obviously benefit Simons. The building's sitting there, so whatever has to get done, lock the door, order Chinese, sit down and figure it out.
There you go. Mayor Todd Coprinol on the morning show today. We'll have more in just a moment after this timeout. Mayor Todd Coprinol from right here in Richland Center, our guest on today's morning show from WRCO, solving the world's problems, or at least city and county problems here today, trying to. I had a call over the weekend, alternate side parking, is that now history?
Yeah, we're done. Several years ago, I was an older person, so this would be 2019, right before winter, we shortened that. It was 5 months, it's three now. It only runs December through February. We're done. Relax, park in the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Park anywhere you want.
Well, preferably along the curbs.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. Right? Not in someone's lawn or something.
Yeah.
There was an announcement about Flag Park, too, recently. Does the city have something to do with that or not?
Yeah, well, nothing that I'm ready to talk about today, but possibly. There's a lot of... as we head to spring, this is the time you're going to hear more things about all the parks. That's when those things come up, right? And then, of course, we'll be gearing up to open the Aquatic Center, and we'll probably be talking about that, but... I don't really have an update right now on any of that. Maybe that's one or two meetings off from really being discussed. And perhaps one of these times I'll bring Mr. Glassbrenner from the city or Mr. Elliott from the park board down here with me and do some of that discussion about what's going on in there, because there's so much going on in there. I mean, the parks are a critical part, all of them, Flag Park, but every park in the city, critical part of who we are and what we do here. But I don't really have an update to announce today on any of it.
Yeah. Crosscut Park gets used an awful lot, doesn't it?
Tremendous amount. Critical resource for the city. Crosscut Park, North Park, all of the places, people, all of our trails that we've got so many of now that we didn't have when I was a kid, and they're everywhere now. And they get used, too. It's great. I love to see all of that and people out there enjoying nature and the natural beauty of the Richland Center, Richland County area.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
With America's favorite coffee, innovative beverage strategies, and mouth-watering snacks, Dunkin' is the brand everyone knows nationally and loves locally. Introducing Dunkin' Rewards. The free sips start here. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Join Dunkin' Rewards to unlock exclusive benefits, starting with a free medium drink with purchase your first week as a member. Bring home the top name in coffee and beverages. Number one in customer loyalty for over 15 consecutive years. Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today, a little rain, 4/100ths of an inch of precip so far. We're at 42 degrees. We're headed toward 52 with more rain on the way, maybe this afternoon where it becomes heavier, 30 tonight overnight, and maybe 1 to 2 inches of snow by this time tomorrow morning.
Big news, A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet is moving to 153 North Main Street. But before we go, we're having a huge moving sale at our Church Street location. Starting March 10th, prices will drop in a progressive sale. The longer you wait, the more you save. But don't wait too long, you might miss out. Everything must go before we close April 1st. Stop by A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet on Church Street and take advantage of these deals before they're gone. Main Street, here we come.
Some notes on Today in News. I'm Phil Nee. Ahead of President Donald Trump's joint address to Congress tonight, Democrats criticized him for policies that they say are hurting Wisconsinites. The Democratic National Committee took Trump to task Tuesday, criticizing him for proposed cuts to federal assistance programs, including SNAP and Medicaid. Nearly 1.2 million Wisconsinites are enrolled in Medicaid, while over 700,000 utilize SNAP. Data from nonpartisan health research group KFF shows about a third of Wisconsin children are covered by Medicaid, and according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a progressive think tank, over 60% of Wisconsin's SNAP participants are in families with children. A Republican budget proposal would see SNAP funding cut by over $230 billion through 2034. Additionally, the budget calls on the Energy and Commerce Committee to cut at least $880 billion in spending over the next 10 years, which is likely unfeasible without making cuts to Medicaid. The DNC also criticized Trump for firing staff at VA hospitals and freezing funding for some federal grants and U.S. aid. Data from the U.S. Department of Labor shows almost 21,500 Wisconsinites have filed for unemployment since Trump took office. Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature are staying on the message. They want a tax cut done before the next state budget. Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August was on WISN's Upfront program and said the one-time $4.6 billion state surplus is only here because the governor continues to veto tax. He said the position of legislative Republicans has always been that money is for tax cuts, not for continued spending, not for bloating government, not for creating new government programs. Republicans expect that money to be used for tax cuts. August said whether Republicans pass a budget will depend on how Democratic Governor Tony Evers reacts to their tax cuts. He dismissed tax cuts in Evers' proposed state budget as a shell game.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel is reiterating where he stands when it comes to President Donald Trump's pardons of those who took part in the January 6th Capitol attacks. Schimmel Monday says he supports a president's right to pardon, but disagrees with President Donald Trump's decision to pardon those who committed violent acts against police during the January 6th Capitol attacks. During a January visit to the state capitol, former U.S. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn said Schimmel is playing both sides with his comments on Trump's pardons. Schimmel faces Dane County Judge Susan Crawford in the April election. A new audit of the November election won by President Donald Trump in swing state Wisconsin has found that not a single vote was counted incorrectly, altered, or missed by tabulating machines. The audit also found no evidence that any voting machine or software had been hacked or otherwise tampered with. The Wisconsin Elections Commission released findings of the audit last week and is scheduled to discuss it this Friday. Trump defeated former Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin by just over 29,000 votes. Unlike in 2020, Trump and his allies have not made accusations about wrongdoing in the 2024 election. The 11th annual Beat the Cabin Fever Dance was a huge success over the weekend. The best yet, the James P. and Michael Sullivan American Legion Post 383 Auxiliary hosted the event Saturday at the Lone Rock Community Hall to raise funds for the Vets Roll Program. The estimated cost to send a veteran on a trip is about $850 per veteran. Saturday's event raised $47,000, with more funds still coming in. The funds will go toward sending more World War II and Vietnam-era veterans to Washington, D.C. in May. The Richland County Highway Department will be posting weight restrictions on all county roadways beginning on Friday. Posting will begin on County Highway A and extend to all county roads. Weight restrictions will be enforced on all county roadways beginning on Monday, March 10th. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders is heading to western Wisconsin later this week to visit Republican districts in support of Democratic politicians and liberal candidates on the spring nonpartisan ballot. Sanders will appear at Altoona High School on Saturday. According to a statement, Sanders' office said that he's holding the events to push back against the current presidential administration and to put pressure on congressmen like Derek Van Orden to vote against cuts to public services like Social Security. Van Orden criticized the planned appearance. No matter what you order at A&W, we know one thing. It's just better with an ice-cold, made-fresh A&W root beer in a frosty mug. For the past 100 years, A&W has been making fresh root beer using real cane sugar and a top-secret blend of ingredients. No wonder it's so delicious. Stop by your local A&W for an ice-cold root beer. How's that sound with a Papa Burger? Made fresh root beer always at A&W. Your A&W is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. The forecast for today calls for 52. Some rain today, especially some heavy rain this afternoon, and fog possible. Rain heavy early tonight. Then it could turn to wet snow about 3 a.m. or so in the morning tomorrow. A low of 30 and a high of 34 Wednesday. 1 to 2 inches of snow accumulation possible. Clouds break up and colder Wednesday night and 17. Right now, looking at a winter weather advisory in Vernon County from early Wednesday morning until Wednesday evening. In Richland Center today, 4 100-7 inch of precipitation. We have a southwest wind at 2 miles per hour. After an early reading of 42, our temp has dipped a little bit. We're down to 39 degrees. That is the overnight low.
What if there were a way to be more efficient with less effort, to achieve peak performance with less energy? Well, thanks to Carrier GreenSpeed Intelligence, what if is now what is. A home comfort system with GreenSpeed Intelligence is smarter than your average system. It can run longer at lower speeds to maximize your comfort and your home's energy efficiency. It understands your home and how you live in it. How cool is that? GreenSpeed Intelligence, available only from Carrier. Carrier, turn to the experts.
See Ash Creek Plumbing, Heating, and Electric. See the new Buick Envista at your local Buick dealer, Sleepy Hollow. The new Buick Envista crossover, a great car with great fuel economy at a great price. Starting only $23,990 and in stock now at Sleepy Hollow in Viroqua. Buick Enclave, Buick Envision, Buick Encore GX, and the all-new Buick Envista. At Sleepy Hollow Chevrolet Buick GMC, now your new local Buick dealer on Viroqua's north side.
Sleepy Hollow. It's good to look into the windows you'll be looking out. The perfect place to look into new windows is PMI Windows of Lone Rock. PMI offers premium vinyl windows custom made to order with the latest advancements in glass and hardware technologies, fusion welded frames and sashes, and the industry's best lifetime no-nonsense transferable warranty. Windows are not all created equal. Let PMI custom tailor premium vinyl windows just for you. Call 583-7200 for a free estimate.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at the start of the boys' basketball tournament. Details on the Brewers signing a veteran left-hander as well.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
The WIAA boys basketball tournament gets underway. The race toward Madison is underway this evening. Richland Center, a ninth seed, plays at number eight seed Evansville. The winner of tonight's game will play Friday night at Platteville. River Valley will be taking on Prairie du Chien at home. The winner of that game will play at New Glarus coming up on Friday. River Valley coach Luke Thatcher says it doesn't feel like it should be tournament time already.
It's wild how it sneaks up on you. You kind of go through a little bit of a lull in January, and then you blink, and here we are, season number two.
Elsewhere tonight, Division IV, Boscobel will be at Lancaster and Riverdale at Fenimore. It's also Belleville playing host to Westby, and Iowa Grant will be the site for Wisconsin Heights. In Division V games this evening, Ithaca will be at home against Cassville. Highland will host Waseca Steuben. Kickapoo is home against DeSoto and Brookwood at Royal. Weston at North Crawford. It's River Ridge hosting Lafarge Youth Initiative. Seneca at Hillsboro and Waniwak Center at Potosi. New Lisbon is at Assumption. On the state of Wisconsin scene, he's been something of a Brewers killer through the years. Milwaukee has signed veteran left-hander Jose Quintana to a one-year contract. Quintana has been among the toughest pitchers for Brewer batters over his 13-year career. He's coming off a solid year with the Mets. Quintana is 36 years old and doesn't throw very hard, but he has become an expert at avoiding hard contact. Cincinnati was a winner yesterday against the Brewers. Final score of 5-4. In spring baseball news. Elsewhere yesterday, a loss by the Cubs to Arizona, 10-2, and it was a win for Miami over the Mets. It was also Boston 6 and Baltimore 6. Athletics 5-4 over the White Sox. Toronto beat Detroit 13-3. Tampa Bay 5-4 over Atlanta. And the Yankees top Pittsburgh by a score of 12-3. Wisconsin and Marquette are still among the top 20 teams in this week's polls. The Badgers split two games last week, beating Washington and losing to Michigan State. They fell one spot to 12th. The Golden Eagles are up one spot from last week to 20th after winning two games. This is the last week of the regular season for both teams. Coach Greg Gard and the club getting ready for the next game on Wednesday.
Border State, you know, we've recruited that area really well. That area's been really good to us. We've got really good players from there. It's important in terms of, you know, Big Ten tournament seeding. It's important in terms of NCAA tournament seeding. You know, if we can keep or get to that two line, you know, know it's an important for obviously a Big Ten tournament to be to get the double bye if you can. And quite frankly, you boil it down to it's your next game and you're competitive and you want to win.
Badger men's coach Greg Gard, his team taking on Minnesota on Wednesday night. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kyle Kuzma are on the Bucks injury report for tonight's game against the Atlanta Hawks. Giannis is listed as probable with that lingering calf strain. Kuzma is expected to sit out the game with a sprained ankle. He has been effective after coming to Milwaukee in a trade, averaging almost 15 points and 7.5 rebounds per game. The Packers have re-signed linebacker Isaiah McDuffie to a 2-year, $8 million contract. McDuffie had his best NFL season last year with 94 tackles, one sack, one forced fumble, three quarterback hits, and three tackles for loss. He was a sixth-round draft pick for Green Bay in 2021 in the NFL draft, and he started all 17 games for the team in 2024. Also in sport news today, for the right to move on and play and broadcast more games, looks like Jimmy Johnson's career with Fox is now over. It was announced yesterday that he will be stepping back. That was released yesterday, and the network will look for a replacement for the longtime Fox Sports analyst. The 81-year-old Johnson made the appearance at the Herd with Colin Cowherd show. He said he had been thinking about retiring for 4 or 5 years. He said he would miss the people he's been working with. Johnson worked alongside hosts Kurt Menefee and Terry Bradshaw and analysts Howie Long and Michael Strahan. As a coach, he won consecutive Super Bowls with the Cowboys and the College Football National Championship with Miami in 1987. I'm Phil Nee with sports.
Why should you join Simon's Recreation Complex? It's not about their modern equipment or great exercise classes or even the comfy swimming pool. It's about how you can get the best out of your 50-plus body now and for the rest of your life. If you think taking part in the programs offered at Simon's Recreation Complex would be just for young people, it's time to rethink that notion.
We had mentioned this off the air a little bit, but I don't think you have to worry about any hiring going on right now, too, right?
City's in a good place right now. Excuse me, with staffing, yeah. We've got in recent months, we added a full-time zoning person, which I honestly don't know the last time the city had a full-time person designated to zoning. And you could tell. That's not a knock at all on anyone who handled zoning for the city. They all had a lot of other responsibilities at the same time, you know, in recent years anyway. And now we have a full-time person there. We've got some new office staff down there. We've got a new police officer. You know, the things, there's a new lead in city streets. So pretty much everything that we've been working through has been worked through on the personnel front for the city right now. I think that's true at utilities as well, at least as far as I can remember. And that situation is also going really well. The relationship between the utility commission, utility employees, city employees, city administration, all of that. Every month when the utility commission meets, which I'm a member of, I sit right next to Scott Saul, who's the president, and every month he comments on how proud he is of everybody for how things are running now in that regard as well, and I am too. I'm real happy with a lot of that. So, yeah, right now things are pretty good that way.
The airport at Saxtonville, any updates there? I believe there's going to be some upgrades, right?
Yeah, there will be, and there's a lot going on out there that Jason Glassbrenner's got his nose deep on. That should be its own show. Honestly, Phil, that should be its own show because there's a lot going on out there that, you know, potential of that airport has never been fully realized. I think, you know, it takes consistent attention, consistent effort to manage a resource like that. You know, there's a lot goes on with an airport. It's not just there's the runway, there's the hangar. There's all kinds of stuff going on that have to be done, you know, obviously for very good reason, you know, state, federal regulations, things like that. But just what I'm looking at, and a lot of us are, including a lot of the pilots who frequent that airport, is sort of untapped potential and what might be possible out there. And that's, so Jason is the director of public works, which means that's where that flows within the city government through the public works committee. And then into Jason's office. And I know several of the pilots who are frequent users of the Richland Center Airport have met with him. He's had a lot of time out on the airport grounds, kind of going over where we are, where we need to go, and working with the state on possibilities there. So, sure, I believe there will be some nice upgrades coming out there. Exactly when, I have not been told yet, but that's because I'm not the one handling it. It will get to the city council and myself when it needs to. And, of course, anything we do will be publicly announced. But we all think that we could make things, we could get more from our airport than we've been getting with some work and effort toward those things. So that's we're doing that.
One of the things that I hear a lot about is, remember when they had a restaurant out there? Why don't they bring that back?
I do remember when there was a cafe out there, and it would be great if they brought that back. Why not? You know, that's a great idea, and there's a lot of other ones. I hear from Mike Kaufman a lot, my predecessor as mayor, who is flight instructor as well as a pilot, and he just loves our airport. It's just part of him, just like his arms and his legs. It really is, and he's so passionate about it, and several other pilots are too. And, you know, this, maybe that. Well, like everything else, every maybe costs money. So where do you find the money, and which things do you pursue in what order? It's no different than any other. That almost could be its own department within the city if you really wanted to go that far with it. Because there's just, think about it, multiple buildings and a runway and a fuel field out there. You know, some of that stuff wasn't there. When Mike was mayor, he fought to get the new terminal building, which is there. He fought to get the fuel out there, which is there. Uh-huh. You know, and it's just kind of, think of it this way. We had a pilot in the mayor's office who's also a flight instructor. Well, guess who's going to be a champion for the airport, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? So I love having the input from people like that who have the background and knowledge that I don't. I mean, I'm not a pilot, right? Well, so we've been smart enough to talk to some who are. And Jason's been working with a bunch of these people to try to find good possibilities for our airport.
As far as the downtown, anything new in terms of things coming in or possible ribbon cuttings or anything like that?
I don't know how much has been stated publicly, but I know that it went through the plan commission, so it's not a big secret. The old Gables restaurant across from Richland Family Restaurant, the McCarvels, Brian and Tony, and mostly Tony. Brian's a lot of sweat equity, but this Tony's got a vision. Tony's got a dream for a business she's trying to bring there. And the city's working with them, trying to help secure a grant that would help with the construction, the remodel that the building needs. The building is at least 90 years old, at least that. And has, it's the way Brian said it, maybe it was Tony, I'm sorry, I don't remember which one of them was speaking at this point, to the city council, is it's a tin building. Obviously not 100%, but it kind of is. The roof really kind of is that. It's a thin wall, tin roof, old building with a lot of local history and a lot of charm. In other words, a lot of potential that's going to need significant updating. And a lot of updating was done by the prior owner, and everybody knows that. They put great effort into that building and did a lot to it. But to get it to where it really is going to have to go, there's a lot more work. So the city's working on a grant there, and I'm really hopeful there. The McCarvels love Richland Center. They just love Richland Center, and they are champions for any possibility to grow this place, whether they're personally involved or someone else gets it done. And they're just so good-hearted and positive all the time. Every time I meet with them, they're just, hey, how about this and that? And, wow, it's great to see you. And what else can we do? And that's one thing they've got their hands on. It's too soon to say, but I believe that will happen. And it'd be a fun new thing that Richland Center, I don't think, has ever had. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, it's a historic building, too. And, I mean, I like to see those historic buildings preserved because there's a lot of history there.
Yeah, isn't it? Man, I mean, it's so one of those things that just comes with being the mayor. The first person in my office wants to preserve that historic building, and the second one can't believe we aren't tearing that down because don't you know what you could build there if that wasn't in the way? And it's a balance, isn't it? I mean, you have a culture, you have a history here that you need to be grateful for, really. So many of us that grew up here, you know, you look around, you don't want to lose everything that was there when you were a kid, when your grandparents lived here, all of that. But then you do have to remember, we're kind of tucked in the hills. We're next to a river. There's a lot of places you can't build, and there are times when the old building can't stay anymore. And it's, you know, I still hear about the old high school being torn down. I get it. I went there, my sister went there, our parents went there, and on back list, but it was the right choice. It was the right choice. There's things up there now that couldn't have been built. You know, the parking for the hospital, but also those apartments up there wouldn't be there. So it was the right choice. But there's people who hate it. When the park was changed to put the dike in, I get it. I played in that park from my earliest memories. I absolutely did. And by the way, I've said this on the air once before, but I got to do it again because it's fun for me. Tom Delagrave is a friend, a local banker, great guy, and I want everybody to know that I got a bases loaded triple off him on the diamond closest to what was then the A&W at the park. I just thought I'd mention that in case Tom's listening today. And if you run into him, tell him I said hi. So I just did that to point out how many of us have memories, whether it's swinging on the swings, sliding on the steel slides in shorts in the 70s, in the sun.
Yep.
But all the kids that played football, baseball, softball, whatever sport, down there in the park, or just went, family reunions, high school graduations, that structure's gone too. Another example, to get the new community center, that had to go, and a lot of memories went with it. So, you know, there's always going to be some of each side. Keep that one, but you can't keep this one. Part of living, it's not fun all the time, but you have to make those choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. There's been a great effort for the auditorium, too. And they're, you know, making progress every year that goes by, it seems.
Yeah, I want to plant a seed on this. I just kind of want... there's a lot of emotion in this, too, and it's all well-deserved. But think about something for a minute. A lot of effort has gone into refurbing the auditorium. First, to saving it when it could have been demolished, and then improving it, okay? There are people who want the same to be done with the Copper Top Theater at the campus, and that's because of their long attachment and emotional history in the building. And we've got performing arts in the high school. We have 5,100 people here. We have a county with 18,000 people in it. It's a small tax base. Do we need three venues? I'm not going to give you your opinion. I'm going to let you form your opinion, but I'm going to repeat what I said. We are a city of 5,100. There are no other cities in Richland County. The entire county, about 18,000 people, okay? Small county, look on a map. I've said that many times. Look at how small Richland County is compared to any of our neighbors. The Richland Auditorium has had a great amount of work done to refurb it. Elevators put in a lot of work. We've got the copper top out there as part of a whole campus situation that needs to be sorted out. And we've got the auditorium in the high school that has had some recent upgrades, part of the last referendum from memory. Great. And I get it. I get the desire to have any of them. And I think you could build a case to have any of them. But remembering that right now the school district is supported by taxpayers, they own one. The county is supported by taxpayers, they own Copper Top. And then the city no longer owns the auditorium, but there's been a good deal. There was a large grant that put the elevator on that building. Do we need three venues in a community this size? I'll just stop right there on that one. That's just something for people to think about as we go forward and we decide where to allocate resources. I think that's very important.
We're into the third month of 2025. Some goals ahead here for the city, some things that you'd like to see during the next months of the year?
Yeah, for sure. As I mentioned early in the broadcast, we're meeting today with the builders who want to put some houses in town. Got to stay on it, always. Mm-hmm. I mentioned again, on tomorrow night's city council agenda, an annexation of some land that's been recommended for annexation by the city's plan commission that may make it easier for some commercial development in the future. Excited about that. Needs to happen. Very important. Needs to happen. Guys, if you want to get businesses that aren't here now, you better understand this. The big ones want to be on 14 East. They want to be on 14 East. Start at Dragon Buffet and go down to the Walmart area. That's where we are at this point. That's where they want to go. most all the time. Not, I mean, obviously Quick Trip was an exception. They built downtown, and there's other businesses that might be willing to do that. But the first request from almost everybody, because they just look at the traffic count, that's where it is, and they want to go that way. That takes available land to build on. It's critically important. It cannot be overstated. That must improve for commercial development of the city to improve. Okay, and then Panorama getting started, wonderful for the city. Potential of a new housing development with people that are really enthusiastic about Richland Center that bought land and have thrown themselves into the project. Wonderful possibility. These are the reasons I ran for this third term, to get these things done. And we're making real, obvious, tangible progress. It always takes longer than you want. There's always headaches and obstacles along the way. But if it's worth doing, you don't give up. You go till you're done and you get it. And we're starting to reach those points. And we're doing that because a lot of people have bought in and they're helping push that snowball down the hill.
All right. You'll be having office hours again today, then?
I will be down there today. I will be. I'll be meeting with the city department heads at 1 o'clock today. I've got several afternoon appointments, but don't worry about it. If you need me, just come on down. I'll make sure you get time with me if you come to see me today.
All right. Always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in today.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Next time I see you. The basketball tournaments will be wrapped up. I don't know, unless maybe the Badgers can make a deep run.
That'd be something.
Maybe sure. They can, a good team. So congrats to all the kids in the area, all the schools who participated and are still, in some cases, in winter sports. Good luck to the spring teams. Go Brewers, kicking off spring training's rolling. Mm-hmm. Go Packers, can start signing guys in 10 days. It's a wonderful sports time. The weather's getting better. We got 62 degrees in the 10-day forecast. Got to get through a few days of spitty weather, and then comes the warm because it's March, and that's what we do. But hang in there, guys. Spring is right around the corner. We're almost there. Get outside, have some fun. Phil, I'll see you in April.
Excellent. Mayor Todd Coppernall from the City of Richland Center, our guest on The Morning Show.
The little shop with big savings and even bigger flavor. Oh, and we make your venison taste amazing, too.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Could be the start of an all-out trade war. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
President Trump imposing a 25% tax on all goods coming across the border from Mexico and Canada, and an additional tax on Chinese products. Economists warn those tariffs are paid for by America.